What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, March 27th, 2018. Yes, it's my mother's birthday. Oh. I am one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
How you doing?
Happy birthday to your mother.
Happy birthday, big old Jamie
Kennedy.
Big old
Jamie Kennedy.
Out there doing what she does.
29.
29 years old.
Right.
How you been, Tim? We haven't done the show in a while.
I know. It feels like it has been a while, because last week you had your fantastic guest lineup.
Yep. Thank you all for the thank you all for the love on those shows, talking to guests, saying how great they were.
It's rare that I watch an episode
of
this show.
You son of a bitch.
But I watched the Jason Schreier one.
Great one, right? Really interesting. I love the perspective he brought. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's awesome that we're all part of the same industry, but we all have such different day-to-days and different perspective. And the union stuff, I didn't realize was going on until I really read his articles. And I was like, awesome. I'm glad that's happening.
What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you still have the beard. You know, I haven't seen you in a long time on camera.
I do still have the beard. Yeah. I mean, well, the idea was we're doing the Rooster Teeth Spring Break. Let's play Family Spring Break is what they're calling it.
Sure.
There'll be a stream this weekend that you can watch. And we'll be there alongside all the other Let's Play groups. And the idea was I'm going to get my hair cut and beard before I go down there. But I'm running out of time.
I
want to go to like one of Nick's guys. I want to do the beard.
You're definitely out of time, because Nick goes to the hoity-toity downtown. You need to, like, when we got Kind of Funny Live, I walked over for a haircut. They're like, oh, sorry, we're booked till like Tuesday. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, I'm going to try to book for tomorrow. We'll see
I'll tell you what. Go to my guy, all right? Go get your hair cut at Supercuts and then have Andy Cortez trim it up.
No.
Whatever. It's not that hard. He does it for me. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show by writing in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Remember, you can send questions, comments, bad PSN names, anything else under the video game sun. Then you can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Remember, if you're watching live right now, you have a special job. You need to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, the new Google form. Put in what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening later on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify. No matter where you get the show, thank you so much for your support. Please consider heading over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, tossing us a few bucks, getting cool perks like early access to Party Mode, early access to the PlayStation VR show, early access to Gamescast recording, and so much more, including the final days to get a birthday card for me next month in honor of my birthday. That's right. Me and my mom, our birthday is separated by 1 month to the day.
Wow.
Insane, right?
That means that we're 1 month away from Infinity War.
Correct. That is also true. I was when we were doing MCU in review, obviously live right now, Ant-Man. When we were doing that yesterday, look at me. We're so close.
So close. And
it's like Civil War. Doctor
a
Strange.
Lot of the next weeks we're doubling up.
Yeah, they're awesome episodes too. Housekeeping for Kinda Funny Games Daily, though. Right now, this Kinda Funny Letterman jacket is officially on kindoffunny.com/store. And it's a good day for it to go live, because Kinda Funny prom tickets are also on sale. Come to the Kinda Funny prom with us June 30th here in San Francisco. Tickets available right now at kindoffunny.com/tickets. If you're one of the people who's like, I don't know, I hated my prom. Guess what? And now it's a prom full of your fucking video game dork friends like us, where everybody's going to be cool and people will be walking around. And Mia Khalifa will be there and Barbara Dunkelman will be there and my wife will be there. And guess what? I'll dance with y'all. I'll dance with everybody. I'm going to get one conga line. We're going to conga out into the street. Cool Greg's going to hand you a spray can. We're going to go out and we're going to tag the city.
Yeah.
And figure out what that means.
We'll figure out what
that means.
I
don't know what it means.
Cool Greg, speaking of you, at some point, can you close the blinds of the window? Thank you.
Next piece of housekeeping, let's talk about PAX. PAX is coming up Thursday, April 5th, 7:30 p.m., the Dragonfly Theater. It's Kinda Funny's first annual PAX East Chicken Wing Ding BYOW. The W stands for wings. Bring your own wings to the Kinda Funny panel. Eat wings with us while we do whatever the fuck we do. It'll be me, Joey, Andrea, and Jeff Ramsey.
Ooh, that's
from,
quite
I believe,
the
Let's Play Network.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you have to address him now. Funhouse, exactly. And today we're brought to you by MeUndies, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the list.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you very much, Cool Greg. Number one, EA Play 2018 tickets are available. This is via EA, who says, hey, everybody, pre-registration for EA Play 2018 tickets is now available. This summer, from June 9th to 11th, EA Play is returning to LA at the Hollywood Palladium. We may have mentioned this before. That's a link to something else. If you're ready to be the first among your friends to get up close with some of our new exciting games like Anthem, the new EA Sports games, and the next Battlefield, look no further. And don't forget, tickets to EA Play are free.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Do you? What? Free.
Hop on it.
Where are you at right now? Last year, it was the first time.
What you talking about wearing
last
that, right?
time was the first time mm-hmm. consumers were allowed into E3.
Yeah.
And that was the real, when people started wrestling. It was a big deal, of course,
yeah.
when EA was like, you know what? We're not doing traditional E3 anymore. We're going to be next door. Mm-hmm. We're going to have our thing. It's going to be open to the public. People kind of lost their shit. There was a bit of panic. Is this the beginning of the end of E3? What's going to happen with it? And you see now, even with Microsoft, working very closely with the ESA, but doing their own thing at LA Live. Where are you at with the evolution of E3, Tim Geddes?
You know, we've talked about this many times via Gamescast.
Sure.
And probably
available on podcast services everywhere. Patreon.com/KindOfFunnyGames.
I firmly stand on the side of E3 being open to the public is a good thing.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, just growing it, getting more people involved, it is about the hype. Like, people think of E3. There's so many kids, adults that dream of one day going to E3.
Sure. And dream come true for me to go to it every year.
Me too, totally. Yeah. And yeah, still it is for me.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, a lot of the people in our industry, the people that are complaining about this and the people that this affects,
I feel like it does
affect people.
I feel like that has already toned down dramatically.
No, not at all.
Really?
Dude, people are so upset. They're so jaded about it. The thing is, I look back to IGN
sure.
when we were there. And the amount of people at IGN that would just bitch and complain about, oh, E3, I don't want to do this. And I'm sitting there like, are you crazy? Mm-hmm. And then there's like a small section of people that don't feel like that. And we're more on our side.
Sure.
That are like, oh, we're going to go. And then I look at Kind of Funny.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the way Nick talks about E3, I'm like, you're a crazy
person.
He's
an old curmudgeon.
He's like, has shell shock. And then he just hates.
That's the big part about it is I don't want to demonize people we worked with at the time at IGN.
I mean, no, I'm going to fucking call them out. I think it's bullshit, dude. I think that it's just like you should understand like how hard we're all working and like
that was the it was the work and the long nights of old school IGN that was the problem you're talking about when because you're talking about the crop of editors I think that were with me that were writing DS previews at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That was a different kind of E3.
I get it, and granted,
I still loved it because I was like, it's like a bonding
thing.
That
exists. I think that it might be a little like better here and there, but it's because there's bigger teams doing different things. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was at IGN, even the ending years, like the video team did not leave the war room until 3 a.m., 2 a.m., because that's just how that worked. You had work to get done. But it's like, you're at E3. This is why you're doing it.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is I got to do while there, like the amount of Nintendo press conferences I got to be at, including the Nintendo Land one. Let's not talk about that. Like I just always feel like it's one of those things. I roll my eyes at those people.
Sure.
That's all that I'm saying. And I feel like I found and I noticed that the same people bitching about the public being there are those people.
Well, again, I think because it comes down to, I was saying that I thought, in my estimation, by just reading the tea leaves on Twitter and the few people I talk to occasionally, last year being open to the public, I was concerned about, not because of how it would affect me, but because I was afraid the public were going to come in and expect it to be PAX, mm-hmm. where they are catered to and events are built for them and all these different things. And I remember talking to people last year at the show and talking about this on our podcast of like, hey, are you having a good time? Yeah. Yeah, you know, I waited in line forever, and these people, it wasn't as great as it should have been. I'm excited that, I believe, correct me if, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, or if you know, they added more public tickets this year to E3, right? And they changed the hours a bit for E3.
Yeah, no, they're changing the hours to...
For public people.
For public people, and to give the press the time that they need to get around the show floor and get to appointments and all of that.
I'm more excited by the fact that now that all these companies have had a year under their belt, they're like, oh, okay, here's how we need to start changing our booth to do it.
And that, to me, makes total sense.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it's like, you know, E3 is... always has been and always will be my favorite of the conventions. And it's funny because it's like
no
really
PSX.
I love PSX, but I mean E3 is E3. Like E3 is everything.
Sure.
Everything, man.
I
the booths are bigger.
Right.
They're louder.
Yeah.
There's more going on. Right. There's lights everywhere. It's like it's such a spectacle. And like no other show does that.
That if PSX that's what we're grading on sure. If that's If that's what we're grading
it
on
is,
sure.
Though. I mean in comparison,
it's like, it's small and intimate. There's a difference.
But it's small and intimate in a huge open space, which makes it not feel like this thing. There's a different feeling to it. There's a sense of community. There's a sense of like, oh cool, this is our thing. But I feel like E3 is such a like the show floor even is so grand and
it feels like
Disneyland. It's the Disneyland compared to going to a carnival.
Okay.
Carnival has dope shit.
I like the community aspect of it, and that's what I'm grading on, but I understand.
Me too.
We're getting off track.
But I feel like the E3 community stuff is only going to grow as time goes on. And I feel like because boots are going to totally cater dude, the amount of people at the GameSpot booth last year when we've done the GameSpot booth multiple years in a row, right?
Right, right, right.
When the public wasn't there, then it's just people awkwardly using the seats in
the
front of us
to
charge their phones and to take breaks from walking around.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, cool, that's fine. But now it's like, oh, people, there will be people going to E3 just to see us or Easy Allies or Xavier Woods or any of these other like, people that they know are going to be there, and they'll be able to see, do something live, and then pop over and play games, and then pop over and, you know, do something
else. That's going to be interesting when E3 for the first time has autograph sessions and signings. You know what I mean? Like when they lean that hard into, hey, it's not something somebody's doing at a booth. Like there's like Autograph Row where we're going to have people where you can come up, kind of like RTX where we come up.
Having like Cliff Bleszinski and Kojima. And I think that that is something that they would start doing. I don't think it'll get to the point where it's people like us. Like maybe we can force our way in there because we're resourceful.
Sure.
But I'm thinking more like it is the GameSpot and the IGN booths that are huge booths relative to the rest of E3, taking advantage of the opportunity that they have there. And, you know, I feel like with Nintendo doing its Smash Brothers tournament again, the Splatoon tournament, the World Championship or whatever, there is a lot on the show floor that is fun to go watch. Like, it's not just about going and waiting in line to play games. Guess what? I don't like waiting in line to play games ever anyways, no matter how many of these shows I've gone to. It's like even my first E3, I was like, this isn't about playing the games. This is walking around seeing this stuff, taking pictures with dumbass dragons and like people in cosplay. Not just like cosplayers, but like officially licensed people that are paid to like make this thing feel like the Disneyland of video games. And obviously, I love that shit. I think EA Play doing its thing separate makes a lot of sense. It does make E3 a little less packed and full. Microsoft going off doing its own thing. I think that doing a bunch of events around the event is key.
Having Microsoft right there at LA Live, fine, cool.
And that's
totally
so
fine.
Close.
That's
good.
I don't know how far
this Hollywood Palladium is, but it's like...
Yeah, I want to say kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong if I'm wrong. Don't just confirm it. But EA Play last year was at LA Live for a little bit, right? Like, that's where they did it. So it was close as well. So it's interesting that I think Hollywood Palladium is going to be further. I don't know. Shout out, by the way, we're switching gears now. Shout out to Kinda Funny Gamescast guest, Damon from Nintendo, Mr. Nintendo, who came
Damon
by.
Baker.
Gave us a great performance on the show. Available now, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast servers everywhere, but also gave us these little cups that Anthony Gallegos likes.
Tumblers.
Not the Nintendo Switch ones, but he has a cup like this, and he's like, oh, it keeps my hot beverages hot, my cold beverages cold. I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. And I just burned my mouth in this coffee I poured forever ago. So now I'm mad at Damon. You know what I mean? I like the coffee cup that diffuses the heat and gets rid of it. Cool Greg knows what I'm saying.
Hot.
Yeah. I also have this Nintendo Pen, which, by the way, this is your final warning. And Cool Greg, you spread it to the rest of the people. Send out a Slack. If y'all don't start collecting them, I'm just going to take them all. Because everybody knows I have a pen obsession. I steal them from restaurants. I want to make my own. You got two? Take some more. Because they're just sitting in there.
Nintendo.
I hate you. Number two. This is exciting for you. Tabata, creator there of Final Fantasy 15, is getting a new studio under that Square Enix thing. It's from Kotaku. Let's talk about it. Studio is called Luminous Productions. It will be headed up by Tabata, director of Final Fantasy 15. According to Square Enix, it will primarily develop AAA games, as well as new and unique entertainment experiences. Tabata will be the studio boss, as well as the chief operating officer, and the studio aims to make new games for a global audience. Square Enix's official announcement via 4Gamer adds that the studio's original core members will be comprised of Final Fantasy 15 team members. An announcement will be made in mid-2018 regarding the studio's new project.
Interesting. A couple things I'm going to drop on you, Greg.
Sure.
Luminous Productions being the name of the studio. The Luminous Engine was the engine first showed off at E3 2012, I want to say. Kindoffunny.com if you're wrong. You're wrong, me. It might have been
kindoffunny.com/ if you're wrong.
Yeah, kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong if I get this wrong. I think it was 2012, E3, at Sony's conference. Or maybe it was Square's conference back in the day.
Wow, you were just giving them
Square.
I'm
trying to get
shit
right. I'm trying to show I know things even though I might not get it right. Okay, Greg?
Sure. You remember vague details. I got it.
E3 2012, I think it was Square's press conference, because they still did that at E3. They showed off this tech demo with their new engine, Luminous Engine.
Yeah.
Showing off this thing called Agni's Philosophy.
Agni's Philosophy.
And it looked hype as fuck. It was very Final Fantasy, but different at the same time.
Yeah.
And it looked amazing. And the amount of polygons and the amount of crazy graphics going on was just nuts. That never turned into a real project.
Okay.
Then later from there, the engine was used in Final Fantasy XIV, Realm Reborn, and it was also used in Final Fantasy XV. And that's what allowed Final Fantasy XV to look as drop dead gorgeous as it does, especially when you look at it on PC, and like the, even the character models are just so ridiculously detailed.
Sure.
Like comparable even to something like Uncharted, where it's like that those games are known for that, and they're much smaller games than the openness of Final Fantasy 15. So the engine is it's very, very beautiful, but what I'm interested in here is because I've heard rumors that they're going to leave that engine for their next project, but with a title like that, I don't know if that's just like a...
Maybe it's an evolution.
An homage to it or, yeah. or something from there. But
beneath it, Kotaku had a whole bunch of screens that were like from the website that were like you know, buzzwords, kind of like when Kojima launched his stuff.
Mm.
I'm falling apart, starting to talk like Milhouse.
Mid-2018 being the announcement of the new project, that's interesting to me because I'd expect it to be a lot later than that. To me,
this an announcement. Come on now.
I know, but Square...
You know how Square rolls.
Yeah, I know how they roll, but...
Tabata lied to our fucking faces at the Final Fantasy the, when he hit
like,
the button.
The fact that we haven't heard about Final Fantasy 16 yet blows my mind. Like, this is the longest we've went not hearing that a Final Fantasy was announced.
Yeah.
By far.
Sure.
So it's like, all right, when's that going to come? I didn't think it was going to be for a while, but mid-2018, that's right around E3. You know, you got to imagine that Kingdom Hearts is going to be the big focus there. Last year they did their thing offsite. I think it was at the LA Live Center or Microsoft Theater or whatever the fuck they call it now. And they did the concert that had the new trailer. And I think that this year they're going to have more release date and it'll be 2018.
From their site here, imagination has no limits. Boundaries can be pushed, an obsessive drive to turn ideas into reality. Imagine, scheme, obsess, create, iterate, start over, repeat, scheme. Begin again.
I'm in, dude. I'm fucking hyped.
Are you hyped? Yeah, I mean, like...
Yeah, definitely.
Tabata's cool dude. Like, he made a lot of good stuff.
Totally. And, you know, there was all those reports that me and Andrea talked about on the show a couple weeks ago about how Square has... They did an interview, I think it was, with Tabata, and he was saying that, you know, they've learned a lot about AAA game development and that they believe that they can do it a lot quicker now and that they can get things out in a more timely fashion. I'll believe it when I see it. That's fucking nonsense.
Sure.
But I don't know. I'm excited for this. You know, I think Final Fantasy 15... could have been an amazing game, and it wasn't. It was a good to great game, and there was just too much padding and too much fluff and too many mistakes made, and it just, like, there was too many cooks in the kitchen and things took too long. If they get another fresh start, I think that I think Tabata and his team can do something really, really, really special. And I'm hoping that mid-2018, if they're announcing it this soon, that they do have a plan and are going to get it out in some form of timely fashion, if that's end of 2019, end of 2020, I don't know. But I would be interested if it was Agni's philosophy being brought back, whether or not they call that Final Fantasy 16 or not. Now that we know Octopath Traveler is not going to be Final Fantasy 16, my money's on Final Fantasy 16, and it's going to be Agni's philosophy.
Okay. There it is. Gatorade get hype moment. Final Fantasy 16 locking in.
It would be. If they bring back Agni's philosophy, I'm fucking in. That trailer looked awesome.
Okay. Number three on the Roper Report, Fortnite has set another YouTube record. This... it's from a little boy named Fwiz.
Fwiz.
Friend of the show, Ryan. He tweets, how big is Fortnite, the game on YouTube? Fortnite holds the record for the most videos related to a video game uploaded in a single month ever. Yesterday, the Battle Royale tournament had over 42 million live views and set a record for biggest single live gaming stream at 1.1 million concurrent.
Interesting. God, I love these records. It's so funny. Now, video games are and video game streaming are hitting the point that Box Office Movie Talk does, where it's Black Panther just broke this record and this record and this record. It's like, all right, guys, like the more specific you get about things, you're going to break records.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously, this is a huge deal, not to take away from what they're doing here, but set a record for biggest single live gaming stream. It's like, okay.
It's still cool to see Fortnite. The momentum that game can't be.
I also love the YouTube gaming fucking throwing it at Twitch, being like, what's up, bitch? Let's go.
Yeah, well.
That's what they're saying.
Sure they are, but I don't think Twitch is sweating it.
I don't know, man.
You think so?
Dude, that's the thing.
I thought when YouTube gaming goes announced, we're doing all this live stuff, I was like, oh, fuck, here we go.
Yeah.
And then it really just seemed like, oh, nobody uses YouTube gaming.
I don't know, man.
Or YouTube Live.
I'm here. Yeah, that's the thing is like people get all like uppity about like the definition of what things is. And YouTube gaming, admittedly, the rollout sucked. And like what people think of it is not good. But they've reformatted over the last year and things have really been changing over there.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not saying that they're going to beat Twitch, but I don't think it's about that at this point. But
sure. It's about having a cool platform and doing cool numbers.
But it's like when they have shit like this, it's like, well, what are we comparing? Like, why is Twitch better if this is the case?
Keep talking. One more second.
Twitch might die. Is what I'm saying. I'm joking. Twitch ain't
wow.
gonna die. No, but
A bold statement, everybody.
I have heard things like behind the scenes stuff that like Twitch is having a lot of problems and expansion problems and I don't know.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
But you're yeah, paying more attention to certain stuff.
And a lot of this is like really behind the scenes shit. But
this is from Mr. Twitch.
From Mr. Twitch himself.
And then he's like,
we'll see where that all goes. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, I feel like with any company that rapidly expands, there's going to be the things that succeed and the things that fail and the things seem like they're succeeding and then fail. And it's like, it's easy to look at those and be like, oh, they're fucked. They're fine. They'll figure it out. Twitch is so big. They'll figure it out. They got Amazon.
Yeah.
But I do think there's going to be a couple failures along the way.
Interesting. Number four, this is just this is for the live viewers probably more than anybody or somebody who maybe runs into it. Some folks currently can't play Sea of Thieves if they're using Game Pass. Sea of Thieves tweeted about this on Twitter. Our team is currently investigating an issue affecting Game Pass players and are working to resolve it as soon as possible. We'll update you as soon as we can. So in case you're going to jump on to Sea of Thieves using Xbox Game Pass, heads up, that is happening currently in the moment. I'd imagine they'll have it pretty fixed.
Haven't played Sea of Thieves
yet. Doing it today.
We're doing a party mode today. But last night I had to download it and get it installed.
Yeah.
So I did, and I booted it up. I got my TV, the HDR, all the sexy stuff, Xbox One X. Damn.
Yeah?
Games these days, man, they should not look that good.
Sure.
The resolution, the fidelity, everything about it. I'm like, good Lord. What did we do to deserve this?
We hung in there. You know what I mean? We hung in there.
Yeah, we did.
Number five, not so much news as much as a required listening. And then also, hey, look at some good guys in video games. Because I feel like we talk about bad people on this show a lot. They fuck up. This is happening. What's going on? This is a story that is being expanded upon from the Game Awards at GDC. Remember, if you watched it when Tim Schafer got his Lifetime Achievement Award and went up there, he mentioned how Will Wright thanked him because it kind of helped Double Fine stay afloat. Over on Kotaku's Split Screen podcast with Jason Schreier, friend of the show, Jason asked him more about this, about like how Will Wright saved Double Fine or whatever. And Tim tells this story that basically during Psychonauts development, about halfway through, it got canceled. And so like it was just done. They're making this game, but nobody's paying for it anymore. And so Tim had like 30 Double Fine employees that he was worrying about and ran around trying to talk to every publisher, try to get somebody to pick this up, somebody to take care of it. And nobody was biting on it. And we're, you know, obviously you're hemorrhaging money at that point if you're not bringing something in for this project. And so it got down to like he just needed to pay the people and he was trying to figure out how to do this and went through every option he could and hit up Will Wright, who worked at Maxis at the time, and was like, hey, I hate doing this. I don't want to do this. But if you'll give us this loan, basically, you can have 10% of Double Fine. Or maybe just pay straight up for it. Maybe I'm taking it out of context. But basically, you'll get 10% of Double Fine.
Mm.
And Will was like, that's an interesting idea. Let me talk to the lawyers because I need to get involved. And I'll call you back tomorrow. And Tim and Jason talk about like, man, that's a long 24 hours to wait or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then Tim picks up with this. And he called back and he said his lawyers had said he was not able to own stock in another game company. It'd be a conflict. And I was like, oh, God. And then he was like, so I'm just going to give you the money. And I was just so blown away from that. I probably didn't mention last night that we got re-signed and we paid him back, but he was lovely about it and really nice. It all worked out, and I was really lucky to have him do that. But I was also really, really touched because it was such a hard time. Publishers are here for business. They're not evil. They were just kind of indifferent. They're not here to keep your company in business. When you've been treated a certain way for a long time, then, all of a sudden, an individual being super generous with their money like that and saving the whole company, providing at the end, tons of work for people for like 17, 18 years. It made me realize that to the extent that it made me realize, I hate reading somebody else's words when they're just being conversational. It's so tough. This is why press releases sound like bullshit quotes, because they are, but then when they try to read somebody's actual thoughts, it's tough. It made me realize that to the extent that I ever am in a position to help out indies or other people, it makes me realize what it's like to be on the end of it. Pay it forward. And I thought that was a really fucking classy move by Will Wright, obviously.
Definitely.
Awesome to have Tim share that story, and awesome just to see two cool dudes being cool dudes out there.
And Tim Schafer, man, there's been many times where I've personally had to reach out to him and ask him for help doing different things or recommending me for stuff, and he has been more than helpful. And
how much money has he given you?
Oh, man.
How much stock?
$69,
how many
dude.
Percent of Kind of Funny does he own?
But no, he is paying it forward. And, you know, Tim's been so great to us and, you know, to the
especially
communities.
Especially
us. Yeah, so.
Tim's amazing to us, but Double Fine in general, yeah, and especially where they are now, where they're bringing in people like Headlander and Gangbeast and, you know, taking these these games that are indie and helping them get published and get the juice behind them. And then Day of the Devs, like I was talking about. Video games are cool. Day of the Devs, like I was talking about, going out there and, you know, giving... Like, when you go to Day of the Devs as a press, and I think is everybody, not everybody else there, but most of the, like, developers and stuff there, like, Double Fine picks up the tab to take over the entire theater and then pays for food and drink for everybody.
So cool.
Which is not cheap for as much as the game developers and game press people drink. So a very cool event. Very cool people over at Double Fine. Costume Quest 2 is available now, and you should buy that and Costume Quest 1. And then tweet Tim Schafer you want more Costume Quest 2. And tell him to stop with all the Psychonauts business and get back to Costume Quest. Tim?
Yes.
I'm excited for Costume Quest 3,
sure
which
are.
I have on good authority no one is working on. So it's going to be a while to play. If I wanted to know what games came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Before we get into that, I want to say something to you.
What do you want to say to me,
Greg? Your mustache is getting very pointy here on the ends.
Yeah.
At some point for me, please, shave it down, shave down the sides of the beard in this and either be Green Arrow or be the Tampa Bay Buccaneer old school Tampa Bay.
I don't think I'm going to do that. I mean, that,
just for Halloween.
We were talking about this earlier, but that's the thing. You'll get this eventually, too, and you're going to hate it. Right now, I can't stop playing with
this. I mean, I've shaved it a bunch. I mean, I've done
because once it goes over your lips,
I hate that,
it's fucking nightmare.
That's why I just put it on the 12.
But that's why I'm leaving it on because I'm going to, like, you need more to sculpt. You need the clay to make.
I can get Andy in here
statue.
Right now with scissors. He'll do it.
No.
Out today. All right, Lordy. Oh, here we go. Atelier Lidai and Suel, the Alchemists and the Mysterious Paintings on PlayStation 4, Switch, PC, PS Vita, it lives. Bit Dungeon Plus on PlayStation 4 and PS Vita, it lives. Bridge Constructor Stunts on PlayStation 4, D/Generation HD on Switch. Far Cry Motherfucking 5 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Of course, we answered a whole bunch of questions about Far Cry yesterday on the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show. If you missed it with Andrea, check it out. And I think there's a few questions coming up still. MLB The Show 18 on PlayStation 4. MX versus ATV All Out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC. Outlast 2 on Switch. The Alliance Alive on 3DS. The Witch and the 100 Night 2 on PlayStation 4. Trove: Heroes, Xbox One. Warp Shift, Switch. PixArk is now available on Steam Early Access and Xbox Game Preview. Ooh, I copied this from IGN and they said Xbox Games. They owe Andrea $5. And then PUBG has a one anniversary free item. You can get a limited edition weapon skin, I guess. And so not a weapon, but a limited edition weapon skin for free for the Scar-L until May 1st to celebrate 1 year of PUBG, I believe, being out there for you. No due dates for you? What's wrong?
Nothing.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Say it to me. What'd you see?
No, I just fucked up.
What'd you
I
do?
I just looked at the time and it surprised me. I didn't mean to be that emotive.
You were super motivated. Well, you're an honest man. It's fine. There's no new dates and there's no deals of the day.
Wow.
So instead, we're going to roll into Reader Mail.
Oh, my God.
Which is brought to you by MeUndies. You want to look good in your underwear and be comfortable, right? Don't sacrifice style or comfort. Check out MeUndies today. They're the perfect balance of comfortable fit. Every month, they have new and exciting prints that arrive at your door in a fun bag. Now, I don't even need to look at the ad because I'm wearing them right now.
So
as you've heard, I wear them every day. Got rid of all my other underwear.
Me too.
These underwear are too soft. They are too comfortable.
Too furious.
They are too pretty as well. Which ones are you wearing today?
I'm wearing the Jamaican ones.
I think I'm either flags or polka dots or no. Have a nice day. The Mankind ones.
Those.
Cool, Greg. Yeah.
Don't have those.
You don't have those?
No.
Well, remember, that's because they do exclusive and limited prints that you
can
only
get. Right
now,
they got some fun banana ones.
Oh, do they?
Parrots. Yeah.
Do you do the subscription or you just do the batch
every
orders?
Once in a while, I'll just go in and buy it.
Yeah,
a
that's
box.
What I do.
Yeah,
I buy the box.
I don't do the subscription.
Gotcha, gotcha.
I probably should.
MeUndies uses Lensing Micro Model, and I know I'm not saying it right, in their underwear. It's a substantially sourced, naturally soft fiber that starts with beechwood trees and ends with the most amazing fabric you've ever experienced. Plus, they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. MeUndies guarantees you will love their undies or your money back. MeUndies has an exclusive offer for my listeners for any first-time purchasers. When you purchase any MeUndies, you get 20% off and free shipping alongside that 100% satisfaction guarantee. To get your 20% off the first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. That's MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. MeUndies. Your butt touches them.
Max,
they don't have. They don't
half
have
to your bottom half.
That's a different. That was a different campaign.
Doesn't matter, man. You can still buy your better half some bottom halves.
It's one of those where I'm not offended. I'm astounded. That Andrea and John only have one pair of MeUndies each, and it's the matching pair. She was telling me about this yesterday.
Mm.
And I was asking, do you have a calendar invite so you make sure you match on the same thing? Because for Jen and I, it's very fun of just the, did we match today? Who knows?
Who
you didn't figure it out.
Yeah.
Let's see where I want to start. We're going to start with Beta. You might know him better, though, as...
B-A-Y-T-U-H?
Yeah.
On the YouTube comments?
Exactly. You may know him better as his given name. What's good? It's your big homie, Malcolm Irons, or my online alias, Beta.
No, I know you better from your
I'm just putting it out there. My question has to do with the Metal Gear franchise. NPD for February came out last week, and Metal Gear Survive wasn't even in the top 20. It came out on February 20th. Sword Art Online, Fatal Bullet, a very niche game, came out on February 23rd, and it got 18th on the list.
Yeesh.
So my question is simple. Since Metal Gear Survive didn't sell well, what's next for the Metal Gear Solid franchise, or Metal Gear franchise? Will Konami sell it, reboot it, remake Metal Gear Solid 1 through 4, or put it on a very long hiatus? Even though I'm not that into Metal Gear games, Rising Revengeance is my favorite. Yeah, okay. I feel kind of bad for Metal Gear fans. Thanks for all you do. Keep up the great work, crew. Beta. P.S. Greg, we need more of the Grappler. Will you get more of the Grappler? Tim, what's next for Metal Gear?
Well, first off, I want to give you a shout out, Beta. Thank you for being a positive force in the community. Always leaving great comments on YouTube videos across Kind of Funny and Kind of Funny Games. Starting good conversations. You're a good dude. Metal Gear, I don't know. I am actually pretty surprised Metal Gear Survive didn't break the top 20. It's one of those things if you're like, hey, Tim, did it make the top 20? I'd be like, probably not.
Yeah.
But then hearing that Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet, if you asked me, did it sell more than
let
that?
Let me give you a little bit of information. Absolutely. Sword Art Online game made it.
Yeah. So I'm a bit surprised by that. Although, you know, Konami really just dropped the ball with that game and like did not push it at all. And like, yeah. I don't know. That it's going to be a game lost in time. It's going to be one of those weird things of like, oh, yeah, that did happen.
Oh, that happened. Yeah.
What's the future of Metal Gear? I don't know, man. What's the future of Konami? What are they doing? What are they looking for? Are they going to sell Metal Gear? I don't see that as an option. I wish they did. I feel like that would be the best thing for the franchise. Because
that'd be phenomenal.
Get them away from, get it out of Konami. And then I feel like the gamers as a whole would be able to wrap their heads around someone else having it, because they'd be like, oh, they're going to do
me
it justice.
Playing this game doesn't benefit the guys I've said hashtag fuck Konami
exactly,
forever for, and
exactly.
It doesn't hurt Kojima in a certain way. You know what I mean? Like that would be the way, I think that's the best way to go forward to get immediate returns on it. I think right now they did this with what if I'm Konami, and I'm not, because they never do what I would think. But where I would be is there's been rumors of them working on another Castlevania game as well, right? I would, if that's true, get that Castlevania game out the door and see how it sells. And see, is this a fuck Konami issue? Is this a we did a Metal Gear nobody wanted issue? Is this the, you know, where, what are the tea leaves really saying? Because I feel in the same breath, right, if Konami wanted to try to salvage Metal Gear down the road, what I would do is, all right, cool, Survive didn't perform. Fuck it. We're going dark on it. We're going to have, however many years this next thing is going to take, we're going to have them working on a game during that as well to release around if that Metal Gear movie from Jordan Vogt Roberts ever really happens. Because the movie, remember, is going to be received incredibly different than the game. Even though the movie one day, if it ever happens, if all the fucking 12 realms line up and we get the lightning bolt through it to make it happen, the movie's going to come out, and if anybody's like, fuck this, they fucked over, it's got a Konami logo on it, they fucked over, and everybody's gonna be like, well, hold on, Jordan Vogt Roberts, a real Metal Gear fan, here's a photo of him with having dinner with Kojima like 2 months ago in current time, like, you're gonna, and I'm sure, knowing Jordan, the little bit I do from his online presence, I'm sure if that movie gets there and he starts doing interviews, he's gonna talk about how, oh, these conversations I had with Kojima, and this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 and like, we brought him in to have him look at this and do it, and like, a set visit and shit like that, where it's gonna be like, oh, wow, this isn't associated with the bad part of the brand. This is associated with somebody who was a fan, who did it right, who brought in the creator, who did all this. And so if that comes out and isn't a terrible video game movie, then I feel like Konami can say, like, all right, cool. Also, we're copying that. Here's the new Metal Gear game. It's not involved in the traditional Metal Gear storyline. It's a spinoff with whoever, da-da-da-da. And this is the creator behind it. And he was a huge Metal Gear fan. And he was, you know what I mean, do all that different stuff. It's all about messaging and spin that I don't think that the Metal Gear Survive got at all.
Totally. And I don't know. I don't think that what you just said is possible. I think that the movie coming out and that being accepted for what it is, I think that the movie's going to have nothing to do with the game. Konami, I don't think that way.
Well, and I'm not saying they're tied. They're the same story. I'm saying it's just we put out a Metal Gear game similar to how, oh man, Batman movies are doing well. We're putting out Arkham. We're treating Arkham right, but Arkham doesn't touch the movie.
Yeah.
The movie doesn't touch the game. The game doesn't touch the movie. But we've seen that people aren't horribly against Metal Gear and when it's done right and when it's shown the reverence it deserves.
Yeah. Earlier you mentioned that there's rumors of them working on a Castlevania game. What, I don't remember hearing that.
I had heard a scene or something on Gaff or on Reset Era about it at one point that they were just trying. But it wasn't good. It was one of those. There's a lot of things I see on the message boards when I'm clicking through that don't make the Roper report, but I file away for moments like this.
Interested.
When I can shout that out.
I live in Reset Era and all those places, and I don't remember seeing anything.
I didn't fucking make this
so
up, Tim.
Let me know. KindofFunny.com, so you're wrong. I want to know what you're talking about, because that is very interesting information. Like, as far as I know, Konami's not working on anything.
Well, it was the rumor
yeah,
about it, wasn't
totally.
It?
Totally. Let's him get hype rumors. I'm down for that. Okay. Metal Gear, what are they going to do? I don't know. We always talk about wanting a Metal Gear Solid remake or Metal Gear remake. Mm. And that'd be, I think that would be cool and interesting. And
that'd
I think
be awesome. Like, a lot of people pointed out, you know, like maybe when Blue Hole was talking about they want their next thing being a giant franchise or whatever, blah, blah, blah. That could be that.
Could be.
And that'd be another way around it, right? Of cool. Like, sure, it's Konami publishing, but it's Blue Hole who worked on the other Metal Gear HD collections. And we know they're great. And everybody loves them. Mm-hmm. Give them Metal Gear Solid and be like, all right, cool. Let's make Metal Gear Solid again and not, you know, have it be Twin Snakes out of it. Like, stick to what people liked about that or didn't like about, and avoid what they didn't like about it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Platinum is going to be involved somehow.
Okay.
I think there's a chance that we get a Rising Revengeance HD release or whatever the fuck you want to call it. Remaster, Definitive Edition.
What was the full title? Metal Gear?
Rising Revengeance.
Was it really?
Yeah, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Did they
it
not?
Used to be Metal Gear Solid Rising, and then
that's
at some point
they
changed it to Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Okay, I believe.
Because remember, like they was gonna come out, and then they like kind of scrapped the game, and then they came back redebuted it.
Whatever. Yeah. Austin writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can, and says, "What's up, team?" That's me coughing, not Austin. Extremely anxious to get your reactions and thoughts on Detective Pikachu. This seems like a Tim Geddes porn, so I thought he would have talked about it already. But this has me worried. Maybe it's not worth copping. Would love to get your take on the game ASAP. Thanks, Austin.
Everybody I know that played the game really enjoys it. I didn't play it. The Professor Layton and Ace Attorney and just like that kind of style of game that this seems to fit
into. It just
into,
doesn't speak to you.
Never really spoke to me.
Gotcha.
So I'm kind of passing on this also. Like I made an exception for Metroid, but I'm not itching to bust out my 3DS.
Yep, put this shit on Switch, man. Come on.
So
there you go then. MixGuy121 says, "Dear Greg and Andrea." Sorry, Tim, that's an insult to you. Not an insult. I guess it's more, I mean, it's the insult that he doesn't know you're on the show today. Or he knows you're not on the show today and is going out of his way to say Andrew's name. So. "I have noticed that the past couple of months, PlayStation has been giving away quite a few 20% off codes. What do you guys think about this? Could this be a way to push more digital sales, obviously? But is there some hidden motive I can't think of right now behind this? I just thought it's weird to give away a discount so frequently. Thanks for everything you guys do. MixGuy121.
I imagine it's just a competition thing where they're looking at Amazon Prime and they're looking at Best Buy, Gamer Club Unlocked and all that. And 20% seems to be kind of the standard that other people give.
Sure. I think there's part of that, but then I do think it's more the idea of, all right, we are seeing that people will go where the deal is. We want you. We already know, we see the numbers. We know that not the overwhelming majority of people. Like, you know what I mean? It's not, we want it to be 86% of PlayStation 4s are buying their games digitally. How do we make you do it to show you it's a seamless process, to show you that it's easy and that it's fun? We'll start rewarding you there. And I think that's the thing where you drop all that out there. You hopefully get people hooked and they tell their friends and they keep going and then you dial back on that. But no, it is also to stay competitive in general with retail. Mm-hmm. So no nefarious thing behind it, except they want more money, which you'd expect from a company. Matt, a.k.a. MattCat710.
MattCat!
Writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "What's good, Greg and Tim? ? If it was you today, but it's you. Tomorrow it's Gary Widow. Widow Wednesday. What are your thoughts on purchasing season passes day one? Specifically, how do you feel about Far Cry 5's season pass? I got Best Buy Gamers Club last fall after all the best friends recommended it. So I could buy the gold edition of Far Cry 5 to get the 20% off the season pass as well as the game. Also, the season pass comes with Far Cry 3 Classic Edition, which I have not played. I started with Far Cry 4, just wanted your opinion on whether it would be worth getting for the season pass. Thanks. Also, I'm sorry. Also, I went to the University of Kansas, but I love Mizzou more. Matt, a.k.a. Matt Cat 710.
There you go.
I might have changed.
You might have changed.
I see some insults here. Where do you come down with season passes, big old Tim Gettys?
You know, this is another thing that I feel like we've talked about ad nauseum. Mm-hmm. But I stand with you when it comes to it. Of if it's for you, it's for you. If it's not, don't get it. I think the Far Cry 5 season pass is a perfect example of how to do it right.
Yeah,
a lot of really great content, stuff that you know is going to come out in a timely fashion, giving you a lot of stuff right away, and also a lot of things to look forward to and looking at the game almost as a service, in the good sense.
Which Ubisoft is good at.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like Ubisoft's really perfecting that, the messaging and what that gets you and what that gives you.
If you didn't know, it includes three new adventures that transport you to three distinct locations. Vietnam, then Dead Living Zombies, and then Lost on Mars. So you're getting all over the place there.
For me,
classic edition for Far Cry 3.
Thinking back of what games I've bought the DLC for, bought all the DLC for, bought the season pass for, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Mario Kart 8
sure.
on Wii U, when it came out, and they're like, there's going to be two season passes or two DLC packs. You can buy them individually, or you can buy them both, get a little discount. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, I love Mario Kart. You're telling me I'm getting more Grand Prix? I'm going to fucking pay for it. So I did, and I was happy with it. Zelda, I was like, they announced, like, oh, you get those two DLC packs. You get it. I didn't really care for the first one. I was like, I'll wait and see what happens with the second. And then when I was like, okay, cool, this is what I expected, kind of, I bought that then. Yeah. Smash Bros., I bought everything as it came out. So Smash Bros. Is a game I know I can buy the season pass for and be totally cool.
Yeah.
Like, they've proven themselves before on how, like, they're going to make me happy with their DLC. So I'm fine with that. There's a lot of other games I see the stuff. I'm like, I couldn't care less about these cosmetic things or the bonus maps that you give. They're going to make things awkward for when I'm playing with other people online and stuff like that. I'm like,
This is one of those questions that we've talked about, but I always find there's new wrinkles to it that make it interesting. And for me, it's just the fact of, you know, people have written in before and talked about, like, oh man, like, you know, you guys are great. We love your opinion on the game, yada, yada, yada. But do you feel like you're losing touch with the consumer? You know, how to, like, somebody who's paying for all their games, whereas we get most of our games through codes and stuff like that. And I think season passes are a good example of, I'm not the use case for that. I think most overwhelmingly, when we get a code for review, it's the gold edition. My Far Cry 5's gold edition, I had to look at what that even means and includes. My, you know, I was riding into work the other day and saw that the Casa Bonita the DLC dropped for South Park. And I'm like, oh, well, I had a gold edition of South Park. That's sitting there waiting for me too. I don't know. I don't think in a game like Far Cry or South Park, I, Greg Miller, on the outside, would be motivated to buy it because it's so hard to go back to games like that when that stuff drops. Like Living Dead Zombies, all right, that sounds interesting. Mars, I'm going to look into it on Far Cry, but I'm not waiting with bated breath for it. Whereas the difference, of course, was Batman Arkham Knight, which was a famous Colin and I argument that went on all the time, was the fact that they said, here it is, challenge maps, new Batmobiles, the Batgirl story, and I was like, yep, bye, you have it. You get my money for that. And it's happened before where I'm playing a game and that's what I got for review and it's a regular edition and I'm like, fuck, I enjoy this so much, I'm gonna go buy, I'll buy it right now to get whatever the bonus I'll get right now is and then have the content later on. But even then, when that content drops, it's always like, I bought the Zelda DLC, right? Mm. Like, I bought the Zelda DLC, I still haven't played it. Like, I feel like that's one of those things of, again, it's a nod to the game, to the developer, to the publisher of, from me, Greg Miller's perspective, I've had such a great time with this. I definitely have gotten value out of this that I want to kick back to you, but it's such a rare thing for me to feel like I need to jump in and go at it again, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Far Cry 5 is a game that, like, literally it's that game where I'm like, and like, we're doing Let's Play Spring Break this week. I'm like, fucking God damn it. I just want to sit in my pajamas and play this.
Yeah.
What, it's going to be a game that I'm going to sink tons of hours into and max myself out and do all this stuff. But when there's like months in between the DLC, I don't know if I'll be encouraged and ready to go back to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Ubisoft's doing the best job it can.
They are doing a great job. And I think that,
too. And I feel like these are chunks, like sizable chunks of content that
is
real shit there.
To Matt, I just don't know how Matt's game consumption is. Mm-hmm. If he's buying Far Cry 5 and then only a few other games a year, then yeah, totally. If he loves what he's seeing from Far Cry 5, the trick is, of course, that he can buy the gold edition now and include all that stuff or buy a different version. I mean, with the game, Best Buy Gamers Club, with the money you're saving, you might as well just buy the big edition, I would think, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you know how much money you have. And I feel like that's, it's an interesting conversation because, yeah, there's a lot of times people are like, oh, you guys are out of touch with stuff. It's like, yeah, well, it's all to scale. Things are all different. And it's like our opinion based on the games and stuff, I think doesn't change too much based on how we live and the things that we look for in the games.
I'm going to go to Nibrockbottom. Nibrockbottom writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, how late? It's too late to jump into an online / games as a service game. After watching some of the Stage 2 playoffs in the Overwatch League this weekend, I've been motivated to give Overwatch a go. That being said, it seems pretty intimidating to jump into an online game that has been out for a while, not knowing any of the characters, not aware of the meta, having 14-year-olds telling me about their experience fucking my mother, yada, yada, yada. What is the best way to jump into an online games as a service game? Is there a point where it's too late to get involved? I'm assuming that playing with a group can alleviate some of these issues, looking at you, best friends, but I'd still like to hear your thoughts. Thanks, Nibrock.
I mean, I feel like you're always going to be at an advantage when you start at the beginning with everybody else and are all in that same zeitgeist of talking about the game going up. And there definitely are examples of it being too late to get into it. But with something like Overwatch, I don't think there's a point where it's too late, at least not for the coming years, because there is so much still being added to it, so many changes happening. And I think there's going to be a harder learning curve for you to get into it. But it is just a matter of looking at resources, looking at YouTube, trying to like figure out like people's talking about strategy and talking about the meta and understanding what different characters are used in which ways. And when you play it a couple times and you start to wrap your head around it, and I think in some ways you have an advantage because you can come in and look at these pros playing. And then
quality
like
of life too is the thing, right? I feel like I would say, and I'm sure there's hundreds of examples out there. I would say for the most part, though, for the popular games, for an Overwatch, a Division, a Rainbow Six, you know, the list goes on, stuff like that, big games that have done well. Jumping into a game now, months / maybe years after it's been out, quality of life should be so easy. Onboarding should be so easy. It should be smart enough to put you with players that are in your skill level, that are still learning. And then you get to taste it. You get to experience it. I'm sure it's way more. It's like trying to compare, you know, the Minecraft that was originally launched to the Minecraft now. It should be way better at not holding your hand, but teaching you the game in a way that, yeah, you find the character you want because they're making you try different things, or how, you know, you see somebody do something cool and you get into it. And then, yeah, you get to go watch a video or a wiki and see how people are using this person in a different way. I think it is a game by game situation, because I'm sure like Metal Gear Survive, I don't know, are people still playing that? Like, and I know not a lot of people were playing it at launch, but is that even worth your time now? If it sounded interesting, I can't answer, but I would think no. Whereas like The Division, with all the cool shit they're doing, getting ready for Division 2 now, I'm sure is still bustling. And yeah, I'm sure there are people that are ready to help you. And in that thing of like, where can you go to find people like that? Looking for group sites is different for everybody. But like, you know, the Monster Hunter community was so welcoming to new people, and people who are still into Monster Hunter still are joining those kind of clans, going to the Kind of Funny subreddit or the Facebook group and putting it out there, finding people that way. Or yeah, just looking into the particular subreddits for certain things. Those people are the most motivated and are still playing the game and usually are down to help you play stuff.
I think another example is fighting games and, you know, things like Street Fighter. And it's like, oh, well, people are so good. It's like, oh, I can never get into it. And I do think that it's never too late to get in. And, you know, there are people willing to help and teach so you can learn how to get better at them and learn the fundamentals and then learn the metagame and then get competitive. And the amount of people that we've seen go from zero to Evo and get eliminated quickly, but still, like, that's been kind of a thing in our industry of people like, you know what, I'm gonna give this a shot, and they go from not knowing how to, the fundamentals of fighting games at all, like being where we're at with them, to kicking ass.
Okay, final question, Tim, goes to Tearless Fungus.
What you got for me?
Good day to you, KFGD crew. Tim.
Yeah.
I tweeted you a very important question. At least I hope I did. I don't know how to use Twitter well. My question to you is, Wii or GameCube? How do I go about experiencing GameCube games? Do I go for the full nostalgia factor? Do I get the Wii for the motion control plus? Or is it all dependent on the handle? Thanks for all you. I'm sorry, this is low case. Thanks for all you do, and the constant smile you give me, Tearless Fungus.
Huh?
How should somebody play GameCube?
I mean, here's the thing. I'm not the right person to ask when it comes to this type of stuff, because if you're asking on the real technical level of like, what gives you more options for using composite versus component, and like what gets you the better, more true visuals or whatever, I'm not that guy. My gut tells me you might as well go. I mean, I guess if it's just to play GameCube games, like actual GameCube games, which would be the only way to do it because there's no downloading those, whatever's cheaper.
I say you fucking lean into it, man. If you want to play GameCube fucking games, you're going to get the discs to put in your Wii, get a GameCube. Fucking throwback. It's got a handle. You can carry it with you.
It might be a little too late to do a You're Wrong for this in this episode, but...
Oh, no, they're fast. Kindoffunny.com/You're Wrong.
But I feel like the Wii isn't emulating a GameCube. It actually is proper, like, it has the stuff to make GameCube games work just like a normal game. So it's like, I think the experience of playing on a Wii and playing on a GameCube, the same controllers, same sure. discs you're putting in. So yeah, it's kind of just up to you in terms of what
Get
you want to do.
Because
Wii doesn't have HDMI anyway.
Get that fucking neon orange GameCube.
Now, you know what? I take this all back.
Here we go. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
GameCube. Tim because Smith. The Wii requires you to have a Wiimote to navigate the menus and shit.
Yeah, I hate that shit. Fuck that. No, that's what I'm saying. Get the GameCube. I want to play with a GameCube. Cool, Greg. Bring in your GameCube. Thanks, bud. I didn't even think you really had a GameCube. I thought you were just saying all right to shut me
you
up.
You think there's not a GameCube at my house? You kidding me?
I don't know, man. I don't know what's at your house anymore. Other than the sex dungeon. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together, and you have a wonderful time. Today, Matt needs help on Xbox One PUBG. His name? Player One Known. O-N-E. Player One Known. O-N-E in there. He's spelling out one. Player One Known. Hi, Greg. I'm tired of playing with these people online who use racist, sexist, homophobic, and generally negative speech while playing PUBG. Tensions run high in PUBG, but that doesn't mean we have to not like that. We have to be like that online. If any best friends are out there and feeling the same, I'd love to squad up. Thanks, Player One Known. Matt, I know for a fact Tom Bach is out there. Snowbike Mike is out there. Kevin Coelho claims to be out there. So there's a lot of stuff out there you can find. Now you're doing your crazy big eyes over there.
I've never seen the kind of funny looks .com/you're wrong looks very different.
Did you jump into the spreadsheet part or are you on the website, the questionnaire part?
I'm in the questionnaire thing.
Yeah. Okay. You can still, so like I scroll back up to the top and then if you click on the little spreadsheet thing, it'll be just like the kind of funny games daily questions and okay. You get your responses there.
Oh man.
But that's why I've been bringing in my computer. You can look at it there.
Yeah,
so you can start doing that. And you can also then just delete the ones you don't want to talk about while I do this next segment. Because we have something, ladies and gentlemen. Brand new segment, required viewing. We've talked about required reading before, where I send you somewhere on the internet that you need to read. Today we're going to do required viewing on Kind of Funny Games Daily, which I don't think is a new segment, but it's returning, whatever. Today, Jared, and I'm not going to butcher your last name, Jared K. wrote in and said, not a question, but a shout out. Gamumentary released its Darksiders documentary today on YouTube, and it's pretty damn good. As a huge fan of the series, it's great finding out how it all started. You can find the documentary on Gamumentary YouTube channel, or just search Darksiders : the documentary. Of course, Gamumentary, I'm saying, is like, take game. Oh, it's actually just game. Take the word game and put umentary at the back. So spell out documentary, and then take out the D-O-C and put game in there. This is a hard YouTube channel. I mean, it doesn't roll off the tongue. That'd be one of my first critiques on the branding of it. I understand what you're doing. It doesn't roll off my tongue. And lots of things roll off my tongue, Tim.
It's true.
Tim.
You sick fuck.
We asked people watching Kind of Funny, or people watching the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screwed up as we screwed it up. What did we screw up today?
Capitalist Pig says, regarding the number of E3 public tickets, in 2017, E3 sold 15,000 public tickets. There's no information on how many they're selling to the public this year, but they did go on sale in February and still being sold.
Thank you very much, Capitalist Pig.
Kebab says, EA Play 2017 was at the Hollywood Palladium.
Oh, wasn't it? I'm fucking stupid as hell.
Oh, no. So last year was at the Hollywood Palladium, same thing.
Yeah.
EA Play 2016 was at Club Nokia.
Ah,
which is in the same
that's
little
what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
in the LA Live Center, not the Microsoft Theater. LA Live. All right, cool. So I'm taking half credit on that.
I was correct. It was E3 2012 that the Square Enix tech demo for Luminous Engine was shown. Lucar Wolf says, Tabata has confirmed that the team's next game is a new IP rather than a new Final Fantasy, and that it will use the Luminous Engine.
Yeah, Tabata's lied to me before, so I don't believe him.
Ear Gamer says, regarding the Luminous Engine, we know that Kingdom Hearts 3 won't use the engine. It was also said that the Switch cannot handle the engine.
You can't even handle it. You can't handle the truth. Remember that, Cool Greg?
Jesus.
What the fuck is going on? What is happening, Cool Greg? What happened again? I thought it was a car accident outside at first.
Okay. There is a rumor for Castlevania from Ear Gamer. Says, rumor that Konami is bringing its WiiWare Rebirth series to Switch. Yeah, that's
just letting you know, bro. Someone's got to keep you in check.
Capitalist Pig then says, regarding Castlevania, there was a rumor that management from Konami was thinking of bringing a Castlevania game to the Switch in mid-2017. This was brought about from this quote by Richard Jones, the European brand manager at Konami Europe. Quote, all I can say is that there are a lot of internal discussions going on within Konami regarding what games we can bring to the Nintendo Switch other than Bomberman, a game which we are well aware of its heritage and how loved it is, and Castlevania is. So much so that a Castlevania is getting... Castlevania is getting its own show on Netflix, and because of that, we're hearing a lot of desires from our fans for a new Castlevania series, so we do know there's demand for a new game, but right now, nothing's set in stone. Discussions are still going on. That Castlevania show on Netflix, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Made by our boy, Adi Shankar.
Adi Shankar. Kesha's Game Over Rookie Show. Available now at kindoffunny.com. kindoffunny.com/tickets for your KF prom tickets June 30th. Come hang out with us.
Hanky Panky. Ooh-wee. Susie just says, just want to reach out and say I appreciate the new You're Wrong form.
Oh, good.
Kebab says, GameCube is also probably the better option over Wii as it would support the weirder Jared Petty type stuff like the GBA adapter that certain games took advantage of. Yeah, I guess.
Jared Petty, weird.
Dave says, some GameCube cables are really expensive. Components are $230+ on eBay. So depending on what you need to connect to your TV, it could be a lot cheaper to use a Wii. Too. And AirGamer finally says, this is a Tim is right moment. Playing GameCube on a Wii is hardware emulation, so it's exactly like playing on a GameCube.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you want to be part of the show, write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Then you can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or listen on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify. No matter where you get the show, thank you for all of your love and support. Remember, this jacket... The Kind of Funny Letterman jacket is available right now at kindoffunny.com/store. Kind of Funny prom tickets are on sale at kindoffunny.com/tickets. And Tim,
yes,
is in a committed relationship. Stop sending dick pics.
It's true.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
Keep them coming.